Iguodala, and here it comes. He got it! The Warriors have won on a game-winning shot by Andre Iguodala!
Live from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
A Smith screen, Hoji will defend. Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life!
It's the T.C. Martin Show. Time to get your daily prescription from the doctor.
Gasol says, hey, pass a big ticket.
T.C. Martin.
And here comes the Birdman. Flapping his wings and soaring for a sweet flush. When you're aerodynamically designed with that hairdo, you can do those kinds of things. With that sweet mohawk.
The doctor is now in.
Unos, dos, tres.
Olé.
Olé.
And ring the bell. You know what today is, Chris Chapman. It is Sweet 16 day.
It's Thursday.
It's a Thursday. It's Sweet 16. You pumped, revved up, excited, ready to roll. We do it all over again. After Sunday, I was exhausted Sunday night and distraught. And now I've recuperated and I'm ready to go today.
Well, I'm a rambler today, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, there
not,
you go.
Not to be confused with the Allman Brothers rambling man. I'm just a rambler.
Let's get rambling, ramblers. Ramble?
Why is their mascot a husky?
You know, I don't know the answer
is
to that.
Is it Northern Illinois, the Huskies?
Northern
too.
Illinois is a husky. I don't know.
Hey, you're too close to Northern Illinois.
I've never seen the Loyola mascot be a husky or a dog, so I've got to double check it. And I've been on that campus numerous times. As you know, love that university.
Yeah, but...
I've never seen a dog as the mascot.
Well, that's in their logo, a husky.
That is true. That is true.
But... You know, they should be like Western Kentucky or Radford, where they just have this like real goofy kind of whatever. What the hell is that thing that I'm looking at mascot? Like Syracuse, it's an orange ball.
Well, Rambler's the name of the dog. So there you go.
Well, that's dumb.
I don't know.
Just dumb.
Yeah, I always liked the name Ramblers because it was very, very unique. Yeah, not too many Ramblers out there.
No, I mean, it's kind of cool, you know, and I want to look up the origin of Ramblers. But
go ahead and look that up and see if there's a Catholic connotation, too.
Because like the Dons?
I've never seen...
Carreros?
I'm not really familiar with... The Rambler being in the Catholic dictionary, so to speak.
I still like, one of my favorite mascots is the Matadors.
Matadors is good.
I still think that's really cool, the Matadors, you know, and too bad CSUN is terrible at basketball, but it is a cool mascot, the Matadors. I mean, they could do so many cool things with that.
Yeah. I've always liked that. We had some Matadors, had a Matador school in high school in Sacramento. So that was always cool. They were terrible too. So maybe that has something to do with it. But no, you're right. That is a very, very cool mascot.
Well, let's see. The Ramblers. Ramblers Association. No, I don't think that's right. That's the largest walkers' rights organization in Great Britain. Don't think that's the heart of walking.
Well,
don't
if you go to the Loyola website or Wikipedia there, I'm sure it'll say Ramblers and what it stands for. Usually every university has the explanation for their mascot.
Wait, got it.
There we go. Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen.
I wish we had like that.
We do. It's in there. It's buried in there.
What
but
is
we,
a
we
Rambler, you ask? Well, the origin of Loyola Chicago's nickname goes back to the football team of the 1920s. They were simply called the Maroon and Gold, but a 1925 football coach student newspaper conducted a contest to name the football team. The winning entry was Grandies. According to Loyola's website, it goes back to St. Ignatius of Loyola, who the school was named for, but it never caught on. In 1926, more informal but much more binding process gave Loyola its current nickname, Ramblers, because the football team went all across the country.
There it is.
Rambling from place to place. Football was dropped in 1930, but the Ramblers nickname continued on. In 1982, a mascot, Bo Rambler, short for Hobo, was introduced by the school. That's pretty cool, the Hobo.
So there you go. See, you thought the Retriever was cool? Now you got Hobo's very cool.
The Athletic press packet in 1990 showed a bum rambling across the LU logo, if you believe that. In 1990, the school came to its senses and decided a homeless man wasn't the best representative of a high-class university. So they introduced their current mascot. Oh, it's not a husky. It's LU Wolf.
Wolf. There you go. That's
recognition
right,
Wolf. With the Wolf's association with St. Ignatius, the family's coat of arms above the entrance to St. Ignatius of Loyola's birthplace, features two wolves drinking from a cauldron.
There it is. And like I said, probably right there off the campus, right there off the lake. It's beautiful.
Only
Lake Michigan and Loyola.
Only wolf mascot in the Missouri Valley Conference And unless you think Sycamore Sam, Indiana State's mascot, is a wolf, some say he's a coyote. Some say he's a squirrel. But there you go.
Well, thank you for that long dissertation and explanation for the Rambler.
I'm going to thank
I probably should have known that.
Thank Todd Hefferman, who was the one who wrote that long thing. So so it's not a husky, it's a wolf. And
it looks the same, exactly.
I like the hobo idea. To me, that's pretty cool. The Loyola University hobos, that's pretty cool.
Well, there you go.
Now, question, St. Ignatius is a big high school in Cleveland, Ohio.
St. Ignatius is there's high schools of St. Ignatius
there was
all
one in,
over the place.
And in Taipei,
of course,
actually.
Named after St. Ignatius.
I wanted to go get a St. Ignatius t-shirt when I was living in Taiwan. I thought it would have been kind of cool in Chinese, but there's actually a subway stop in Taipei, St. Ignatius High School.
You know, I am very, very frustrated. And I told you last week when we were going back and forth with Loyola, and you're going, Loyola, I called it this and that.
Yeah.
And
didn't you tell me Miami size would be too much for them?
I thought so. Really did. I did. I did say that. But, you know, again, in my heart, I was rooting for Loyola, but I didn't think they would. I admit it. But what I'm bummed out about is I went through my closet again today. My second closet, and I did get rid of the Loyola sweatshirt that I had for years. And I think I told you when I moved here from Green Bay, massive yard sales, several yard, just couldn't bring everything with me, and I sold it. And I'm kind of bummed that I sold it because I had that Loyola sweatshirt for probably 20 plus years, and I finally got rid of it just because, you know, wearing it around Green Bay, people are going, because they were in the same conference at the time, UWGB and Loyola. I said, you know what? They haven't been any good in such a long time. Forget about it. And the sweatshirt probably wore out its welcome. But, man, now I miss it because I wanted to sport that this week.
Well, sadly, you still have your DePaul sweatshirt.
I do. Well, the DePaul is a little bit newer.
But my old DePaul,
I got rid of that too.
Listen, DePaul is probably the worst college basketball team in the state of Illinois,
okay,
and you still rock that sweatshirt.
I told you why, because that sweatshirt is in great condition. It's very, very warm, and I've only had it a couple years,
but
and I told
DePaul,
you why.
They're terrible.
But I love DePaul. I love the campus, love Ray Meyer, and my daughter almost went to school there, so I had to start getting some DePaul gear.
I will say this. It is better than Clayton Hamilton's Boston Terriers t-shirt that he was wearing today.
Yeah, and I don't know where he gets that. At least I have a rhyme for reason. When I go to a campus, I get a t-shirt or a sweatshirt.
I used to have a William & Mary t-shirt that I got at the campus of William & Mary, which is...
The Tribe?
Yeah, the Tribe, which is in Williamsburg, Virginia.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Not too far from Colonial Williamsburg.
And the here's a trivia question for you.
Okay.
The home of which former NFL football player who now resides in the penitentiary?
I know Steve Christie went to William & Mary.
I wasn't talking about him.
The kicker. He actually had little leprechaun thing going, too. NFL. That's not Howie Long. He went to Villanova.
Right. Defensive back. Played about almost a dozen years.
Darren Sharper?
Correct.
Went to William & Mary?
My boy, Darren Sharper.
Your boy. I don't know if you want to claim that.
Yeah, not anymore, I don't.
My boy, the convict.
Yeah.
Unless you're looking for street cred, that may get you some street cred.
No one ever saw that coming. When that word came down, what happened to him, because we used to hang out with Sharp all the time. He was like a regular on my show, but we never saw that coming. And we knew he was a ladies' man. We knew that.
Well, now we know why.
But yeah, that stuff was ridiculous.
What was it, 8 women and 10 women in 8 states or something?
No, it was terrible.
And one here in Nevada, right?
And off that same team that actually happened here in Las Vegas, I don't know if you remember, but Javon Walker, what happened to him here in Las Vegas after he got the Packers let him go, signed a free agent contract with the Raiders, and he got rolled behind Harrah's over there off of Koval. They took all of his jewelry.
Oh, do you remember that? Yeah, that was
probably about 6-7 years ago.
Yeah, it was probably about a decade ago. Yeah, I remember that. That was pretty wild.
Yeah, so that actually happened here.
Wow, that's right.
So
I forgot about that.
And he was another guy. True story. We're doing an autograph session one night with the show that I was the Packer Player Show that I would do once a week, and we had Javon Walker on, and he starts signing everyone's memorabilia, helmets, all that stuff. He'd start putting 84 on there, and person comes up to us and goes, "Hey, why'd you sign an 84? His number is 87." Guy didn't know his own number. Signed everything 84.
Well, that would probably explain why the guy got rolled behind Harrah's. Yeah, that's right. I remember that story. You know, usually you remember the dumb things athletes do in Las
Vegas.
Actually,
he was 87. His number was 84. I got it reversed.
He was signing 87?
He signed 87, yeah.
Yeah, you generally don't remember things that happened to athletes here. You usually remember, like, the Pac-Man Joneses and the dumb things that they've done here. But
and I don't know, because I wasn't in Vegas at that time, so yeah. I don't know how much pub that got, that story here.
I remember it got a bit, because he had a lot of jewelry, and I think it was in a cab or something like that, if I remember correctly. I'm trying to remember the story, because It was a while ago, and, you know, I wasn't working in the business at the time.
I'm sure you can look that one up,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I do remember that story.
I know it's up there. All right, so Sweet 16 tonight. We will be breaking down all of the games. We got four today, four tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Today on the program, we talk a little UNLV baseball as well. Stan Stolte in his third season at UNLV, good friend of the program. He joins us today. And the Rebel baseball team, if you have not heard, 19th ranked in the country. They are 18-3. They are playing some fantastic baseball. And if you haven't seen them yet, get on out there to Early Wilson Stadium and see them as they're opening up a three-game homestand starting tomorrow night against San Diego State, who's actually ranked 25th in the country. And UNLV baseball, they are off to a great start, not just the record here, but they knocked off Oregon, who is ranked 21st in the country. They just played Arizona State back at Phoenix Stadium a couple nights ago on Tuesday night, and they won there, handled them very easily, 10-3 victory. Give it up for the Rebels, 18-3, and very happy for my man Stan Stolte and also Greg Maddux, who is the pitching coach.
And his kid is on the team as well.
Chase, he's a sophomore now.
Yeah, so it is good, you know, because I think there was a period of time where UNLV baseball was really in the doldrums and they were in the dumps, and it's good to see them coming back, and Stolte's doing a really good job with that program. You could see some improvement towards the end of last year. They started out slow, but they improved as the season went on. And it's good to see the Mountain West Conference with two ranked teams because, you know, with despite the fact that there are some, I think, pretty decent baseball towns in the Mountain West, Albuquerque is you know, they've got history there with the Albuquerque Dukes and now the Isotopes, long history with the Dodgers. You know, obviously San Diego, a hotbed of talent. And Vegas, you know, you would think that there'd be some pretty good baseball in this conference. I know San Jose State's terrible at everything, but even up there, you've got some pretty good ball players up in the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's good to see two schools from Mountain West ranked and represented in the national polls. And, you know, hopefully UNLV takes advantage and they sweep the series. That'd be great. But, you know, San Diego State, of course, we're now past the Tony Gwynn era, unfortunately, he passed away. But, you know, he was the manager there for a while, and it seemed like they never really hit their potential under Gwynn, and now, you know, they seem to be starting to rise. And, of course, Fresno State, they won the national championship about a decade ago.
Exactly.
So as a 64 seed, they were the last seed in the tournament, and they won it. So,
but, you know, West Coast has plenty of power. So, obviously, the Pac-12 is great for baseball, the Big West. Look, you know, Fullerton, always very, very good.
Yes.
So
Santa Barbara's usually got a pretty good team.
So it's not surprising to have a couple Mountain West Conference schools good. And like you talk about San Jose State, you make fun of them, but they should be good because of all that talent, not just in the Bay Area, but they're playing baseball year-round in California just like they do in Florida.
And look what Oregon State and Oregon do. They go down and they mine the high schools in Southern California, and you know they get that talent up to Corvallis and Eugene, and those two programs are pretty good. I mean, Oregon State, multiple national championships. They've been to the College World Series more times.
Well, Oregon State, they shut down their program a while back, and they started back up just a while ago, and then boom, now you know they're going to College World Series.
Yeah, I mean, they've been really good for the last 15 years or so, and they've won national championships. They've had some pretty good players go into the majors, and you know they go down, they get Southern California kids, and you know, for Vegas, we have an advantage here because, of course, Bishop Gorman and, you know, some of the other high schools here, Basic High School, I think they're the defending state champions. You know, there's a lot of talent. You know, the Basic kids went and won the American Legion World Series this
correct.
Year. So there's a lot of talent in this city in terms of baseball. I mean, we just had Chris Bryant out at Cashman Field over the weekend, Bonanza High School. You know, Chase and Shreve is another kid in the majors. So You know, there's a lot of talent in Vegas, and I think UNLV does a really good job of keeping that talent in the city.
Yeah, and they have been for a long time. Of course, you know, Bryce Harper, and then, of course, Greg and Mike Maddox, you know, back in the day. Several guys, Matt Williams, a lot of great talent here. And what's really good about this is Stan Stolte is keeping a lot of good talent at home now. There are Las Vegas guys on this roster that went to high school here, that grew up here, and they're staying home. So we'll talk to Stan here in a few moments and talk about the UNLV baseball program. Very, very happy to do that today and very proud of the Rebels' success. All right, so tonight it all starts in less than an hour, right after we're done here today. 4:07 will be the first tip. It is Loyola against Nevada. We've been talking a lot about that during the course of this week with the various guests that we've had on. Current line movement on this game. You may be surprised about this, but a lot of Rambler money is coming in. And right now, Nevada is only a 1.5-point favorite, open 2.5, now down to 1.5. So there's a lot of people here that are thinking, hey, this Loyola team, they might be a little bit more consistent, battle-tested in the Missouri Valley Conference. And with Nevada trailing as much as they've trailed in this tournament, down by 14 against Texas, rallying back, down 22 to Cincinnati late to rally back, I would really think that people would be backing Nevada here, and they're actually not. Just for the fact is, I know a lot of people aren't familiar with Loyola, haven't seen them play very much, but this game is hovering around a pick 'em.
Yeah, it's not surprising, though, because Loyola has played two pretty good teams, and they've beaten two really good teams. Miami and, of course, Tennessee. And, you know, the school up north, I think a lot of people are looking at, hey, you know what? They're lucky to still be here. They've only led for, I think I saw 4 minutes and 32 seconds.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
Of the entire tournament.
Right. And that includes an overtime game as well.
Yeah, exactly. So they've played 85 minutes and they've only led for about 4.5 of it. So,
and they played some pretty bad basketball for about 58 of them.
But I think this is now where they will turn it on. I think they're better than Loyola. I think they have better players than Loyola, and I think they have a better coach than Loyola. You disagree, and you know, I think we should bet on this game. I think we should. I cannot believe that I would be willing
I'm shocked about this. Because you know me, I won't shy away from a wager, especially if food's involved.
Yeah, well, that's where we would go. I'm not going to give you money. But, you know, see, but the thing is, if it's Freddy's, I can live with that. I think we should bet Freddy's on this. Are we going to go points? Or are we going to go straight up?
We're going, because the game's virtually a pick 'em. And if you're making a case for Nevada, you're not going to sit here and again, I mean, I would be the one asking for the points.
Yeah.
So I'm not even asking for the points.
So just straight up?
It should be straight up. It really should.
You know, and you know why you're going to win? Because I'm hedging on the school up north, and there's absolutely no way that they win. Because I'm gonna put my
see, I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
I'm gonna put my turtle concrete on the line here.
As much as you just disparage the truck stop, as
the
you like to call
stop,
them,
yeah.
There you go. I can't believe it. But yeah, I'm sentimentally a Loyola guy, so. Yes, I've loved this university my entire life, so I'm going to go with Loyola. But I do believe that they are a better coach team. As far as talent goes, they are on par with each other, and I've watched them quite a bit. They can shoot the rock better than anybody. They're fantastic. I love the system they run. I love Porter Moser. But here's my problem with Nevada is I think they're psychotic. But I have no idea what is going to happen with them game in and game out. And you go back towards the end of the regular season, you go to the Mountain West Conference Tournament where they got obliterated. They were down by, 35, 38 to San Diego State?
Yeah,
they lost
one of
by
the worst
17, but that's when
ever seen
San Diego State called off the dogs in the semifinal of that. But UNLV was leading against UNR at halftime.
But I just think they'll turn it on. I think the Martin twins will be too much. Jordan Caroline hasn't played great so far this tournament. I think he'll be a big difference.
And I like
maker.
Those guys. I love Caroline's game. I like the Martin twins, no relation by the way, but they're not very deep. I just cannot predict what's going to happen. I mean, tonight it would not surprise me if they jumped out to a 15-20 point lead over Loyola.
And then just kind of cruised, yeah.
It would not surprise me. So you're not going to hear me tomorrow if Nevada wins that, oh man, yeah, I can't believe it. No, because I have no idea what's going to happen. And I'm only making a friendly wager with you because It's fun.
It is fun.
It makes for good radio. And, you know, if I can get a free Freddy's, why not?
I wonder how many people driving around listening who are alums of that truck stop up north who are just cringing and almost driving off the road because I said I'm gonna pick them tonight to win.
There are a lot of people around here that like them. And again, it's not so much the proximity, but I think it's people that kind of fall in love with the team from the Mountain West Conference. And when you see them so much, you kind of overvalue them. You think, oh, my God, they're great. They're great. No, they're not great. They're not good. Hence the number 7 seed. Hence why everyone is going crazy because they made it this far, because they weren't expected to get this far. If they were really, truly a good team and people viewed them as being a very good team, you would not have the reaction that you have right now that, oh, my God, they're in the Sweet 16. No, are you doing that with the Dukes and the Kentuckys and even some of the, you know, Gonzaga, who's a 4 seed?
I think some of us are surprised.
Because you know they're good. Nevada, for the general public, they're really not that good of a team. They're not.
Well, they've been.
You don't get blasted the way you get blasted by being a great team. So I don't want to hear people say, oh, they're a great. No, they're not a great team.
They've been a top 25 pretty much all season. A 7 seed would indicate that.
Stop. They've never been above 21. Okay, they've hovered between 21 and 25 and for, I'd say, two-thirds of the season.
Okay, so there's 320 programs in D1, right? Something like that.
Yeah, I think it's 316.
They were seeded 7th, which means the committee felt that they were one of the 28 best teams in the country. That would put them in the top 10%, top 8% of teams playing college basketball. That's pretty good.
A 7 seed is not it's not pretty good.
They
didn't win their conference. They didn't even make it to the final.
But they didn't need
and they
to.
They got embarrassed. Say that. They were on pins and needles. They didn't know that. Come on.
Well,
you heard a Musselman after the game, after they got blasted against San Diego State.
What's he going to say? Yeah, we're in. Of course we're in. You know? No. I mean, these guys, they know what to say.
I don't know. Again, I don't want to, people think, oh, you're bagging on Nevada. It sounds like I am, no doubt. But again, I've given them kudos, too. I've wagered on them during the course of the year. It would not surprise me if they roll tonight or if they get blasted. I can't figure them out. I cannot figure this team out. I don't think anybody can.
I think when the final whistle blows tomorrow night on the last game, they will be one of the last 8 teams playing in this NCAA tournament.
They could be, but they've had a pretty nice
Friday or Saturday, reality hits, and they play Kentucky, and they get destroyed.
Okay, well, one game at a time.
Yeah.
All right, you've got the Wolfpack. I've got the Ramblers.
I've got the Truck Stop. The Wolfpack and the Wolves, huh?
There you go.
Are you Wolf?
I will. We'll go over the rest of the docket a little bit later on the show. We come back. We talk UNLV baseball. Stan Stolte joins us right here. T.C. Martin Show on Fox. All right, we know it's the middle of March Madness. Looking forward to the games tonight and tomorrow, Sweet 16 action. But it is also baseball time as well, especially here locally. And joining us now is the UNLV head coach. We've had him on before in the past, and it's great to have him back on again with us because he is now leading the 19th-ranked Rebels, 18-3 on the season. He's in his third season as head coach of UNLV baseball, Stan Stolte. Stan, how you doing?
I'm doing very good. How about yourself?
Great. We appreciate you taking the time and joining us. Now, weather, a little bit of a concern today. We got practice, got an off day, working indoors. What's going on?
No, it's the day before the game. It's a light day, and we were outside. The field's in great shape and can handle it, but it's just supposed to be a little rainy today and all good for the weekend, so ready to go.
All right. Stan, you're coming off a 10-3 victory over Arizona State at Phoenix Stadium on Tuesday night. You guys beat number 21-ranked Oregon earlier this year. Are these results surprising you a little bit? Because, let's face it, I mean, you know, you guys have had a great turnaround here, and now to be ranked, you know, 19 overall in the country, it's saying a lot about your program.
Well, I don't know if it's surprising, you know, because it's baseball. Anybody can beat anybody on a given day, but it's probably the way we did it. You know, after the game, you didn't feel like you upset anybody. You felt you were at least as good, if not better, than when you beat them. So we feel good after those games. It didn't really surprise me, but we're happy we beat them.
What's the biggest difference between this year's team and last year's?
I think we're stronger in all phases. We pitch better. We we have a better offense and we play sounder defense and we just play baseball better. And, you know, the kids that came back are a lot better, and we brought in a couple kids that fit in and they're doing well. It kind of all came together, and the attitude's great. And they got a little swag to them, and it's a lot of fun.
You have to like that, too. That's an important part, having a little swag. You want to see kids play with a little bit of cockiness and a whole lot of confidence. And when you're getting off to such a great start like you are, I would imagine that confidence just carries out throughout the clubhouse.
Oh, yeah. We've been behind so many games during the game, and we've come back. There's no pressing or nobody's panicking, and they really care for each other. They put the team ahead of themselves, and I couldn't be happier the way they've responded.
So for people that don't know you or haven't seen UNLV play, what type of manager are you? Are you one of those guys that are, you know, kind of let the players, like a lot of Major League Baseball managers, where you kind of let the players figure things out? Are you on top of these guys, a little bit more of a disciplinarian? How would you classify you as a manager?
I would say, you know, for practice, we're pretty detailed and very demanding in practice. And then when the games come, we just, you know, we're not cracking down on them. We just let them play and, you know, try to correct between the games if there's something that needs correcting. But I don't know. I'm probably a player's coach, but if I need to stick my size 11 up there, I'm not afraid to do that either. It's a little of both, I guess.
Stan Stolte, the UNLV baseball coach, join us. The Rebels are 19th ranked. They're off to a fantastic start. They've won 18 of their first 21 games. Greg Maddux, in his second year as your pitching coach, anytime you have a Hall of Famer around these kids day in and day out, it's got to say a lot. I know we've talked about this in the past with Greg, but talk about how he has fit in his role from year one to year two.
Well, I think he's seen the college game because, you know, he spent, 25 years strictly in the pro game, and it is different. So I think after last year, he kind of, you know, evaluated how he had to do a couple things maybe a little different and just understood the game a little better because he is so brilliant. You know, just as far as teaching a kid how to pitch mentally, there's obviously he's the best in probably the history of the game that can do that. And they've really bought in, and it's worked out well.
You know, I've spent a lot of time with Mike Maddux over the years, and when I talk to Mike, he's always keeping an eye on Greg. When I talked to Mike was last October during the playoffs, he would say, no, he's got his eye on UNLV and Greg and everything, and it's kind of funny how, you know, Mike has been a longtime pitching coach, and now his younger brother is kind of following in those footsteps to a certain degree.
Oh, and Greg's all in. It's not, he just doesn't just show up and go through the motions. He's putting his time in and really teaching the kids, and it's great. He watches video at home and he'll text them and tell them, you know, see things, and he's all in. We couldn't be happier.
All right, and you also have Kevin Higgins as well, too. He's a former great ball player as well. Talk a little bit about him and his role and what he means to your program.
Well, Higgy runs the offense. He's just as valuable to us as Greg is, and I trust him, and I just get out of his way. He's such a brilliant baseball mind, and he played at the major league level with probably a little less talent than what Greg did. So, you know, he knows how to play the game, and it didn't come easy for him to get to the level he did. And he's just, he knows the game. He knows how to run an offense. He sees things, and he's a great guy to have on the staff.
All right, so Greg's son is a pitcher, Chase. He's a sophomore with you guys right now. I know he came in relief quite a bit last year. Talk about his development and what is his role this year.
He's probably pitched his way. He was our midweek guy, which is usually your number four starter because you have three weekend guys. But with Larry Kwani, he broke down last weekend. He's going to be out for 3 or 4 weeks or so. Chase will be our number three guy now, pitch on Sundays, and he'll stay there as long as he is. Keeps doing what he's doing, and he's been good for us.
Has he put on a little bit of weight?
No.
he's one of those skinny guys, but he can bring it, can he?
Doesn't matter. Yep, he's got a big heart, and he's a tough kid. Absolutely.
All right, Stan, so give our listeners some names to get to know from your program there, and How many or any of these guys could maybe possibly play at the major league level?
Well, probably most our highest profile guy that's drafted eligible now is Kyle Isabel. He's a center fielder. He's going to get drafted very early, and he's got a chance. You know, if you get drafted, I'm guessing he's anywhere from the third to the eighth round, and which is pretty good. And I know there's a lot of interest in him, and he's got a very good chance of playing professional ball at a high level. And we have a sophomore named Bryson Stotts, local kid, who will be a draft eligible next year. That'll get a lot of attention if he keeps progressing. Could be in the same type. And our Friday guy, Alan Strong's a senior. He throws fairly hard, hard for a college kid. But professionally, he's probably average. He's a longer, and he's going to get a chance. And you know, we probably got five or six other guys that are possibly going to get chances. It just has to, the season plays out.
We know that Vegas is a hotbed for baseball because you can play year-round here, and there's some great youth programs and great high school programs. How much of a focus are you putting on recruiting the local kids and getting them to stay home? And in your third year now, have you sensed that you're kind of really starting to make some headway in that?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, really it's my first year. I was just interim, so we didn't really get to recruit much. Just going into my second year, this next incoming class, I think we have nine kids coming in. And this past year, we brought in six or seven just local kids. And, we've got to get some good kids from the Las Vegas area for us to be good. And but we can't rely on all of them. We have to go get some good kids from Southern California, Phoenix, and San Diego, and so forth, too. But we can fill a lot of spots with Las Vegas kids, and we're doing a good job with that, and happy with the kids we're getting.
Stan Stolte, UNLV head baseball coach, joined us. A lot of people will focus on college football and basketball because of the money that's generated with those two sports. But having a nationally ranked baseball team, that can really drive awareness too. And I know, look what it's done for Oregon State, Fullerton State, Stanford, others, other smaller schools, maybe from not big conferences. So when you look at the success that you're starting to have here, talk a little bit about that, what that can do for your university, for your program, and bringing this notoriety, because those schools that I just mentioned before, not great football programs or even basketball programs, but baseball, I mean, they are known for their baseball programs.
Oh, absolutely. And I hope we get very good in football and basketball. I love college football myself, and that's such a great sport. And and I hope our college our basketball team gets back to where it used to be, and I think they're well on their way. To answer your question, yeah, it's exciting. People are taking notice, and it's only been two or three weeks, so we just got to keep it up. And we think we're building for the future. Also, to maintain this type of level of play and not just be a one-hit wonder, but even that being said, we've got a long ways to go before we start celebrating how great we are. We've got a long ways to go yet this season.
All right, Stan. We'll let you get back to it. Appreciate the time, and we look forward to talking with you down the road as this season develops, as you get ready for Mountain West Conference play this weekend.
That sounds great. Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks a lot. There he is, Stan Stolte, the UNLV head baseball coach. The Rebels ranked 19th in the country, 21st last week. They moved up two slots to number 19. They're 18-3 right now. And like he said, he's in his third season, but realistically, it's like his second season because he was the interim coach taken over a couple years ago, and he didn't get a chance to recruit. So now you're starting to see some of these kids come in that he brought in. And when you have a staff of Kevin Higgins and Greg Maddux, that's a star-studded coaching staff at the collegiate level. So get out there and go see the Rebels. This weekend, they are playing against 25th-ranked San Diego State Friday night, 6:05 p.m., Saturday, 2:05, Sunday, 1:05. And look forward to that. Get out there and support the team. Get out there because it's great baseball, especially when the weather gets ready to turn, which it is supposed to be nice this weekend, and then probably from here on out. Nothing better than going out there on those weekend afternoon games and go see some quality college baseball. I mean, they've already beaten Oregon. They beat Arizona State on the road. I got a chance to see them play Columbia a couple weekends ago where they just destroyed them. But it's great. And get out there, especially, you know, once this weather gets better, it's going to be very, very nice. Go see the Rebels and support them. It's nice to have a major college baseball program because, hey, if you're ranked in the top 20 right now and you can continue this, you can win your conference, you could find yourself in Omaha. And there is nothing like going to the College Baseball World Series. I mean, that is fantastic. And to have UNLV go, and they went a few years back. They've gone a few times in their history, done pretty well. They actually went to the regionals, you know, back in, what, 04, 05? And I think they even made the postseason in 2012. So it's nice to see UNLV be good in baseball. So how funny would that be for UNLV to have success in baseball before they have it in football and basketball?
Well, I don't think it'd be funny. I think it'd be, you know, a testament to the job that Stan Stolte's doing at, you know, UNLV. And, you know, a fact that in college baseball, the playing field's a lot more even, I think, than it is in the other two sports, you know, basketball and football. Because clearly, in football and basketball, the odds are stacked against these small schools. Whereas in baseball, not so much. You know, generally the best of the best can rise to the top. And, you know, we've seen Coastal Carolina win a championship. UC Irvine's been in the College World Series. You know, schools that don't really have any type of tradition in football or basketball. Yeah. And, you know, I like the sport. I like the super regionals. I like the regionals. And, you know, to me, the fact that, you know, you've seen schools like Houston Baptist come out of nowhere, right, and be competitive in the sport. And, you know, it is predominantly a warm weather sport where teams from the warmer weathers are able to, you know, win championships. But I think we saw, was it Ohio State from the Big Ten go to the College World Series?
Yeah.
They were the first team from the Big Ten to make it in so many years. So, you know, it's the one sport, I think, where you don't see domination by these quote-unquote power conferences. You see, you know, smaller schools have a real opportunity because baseball is the kind of sport where if you have a really good pitching staff, you can win a lot of games.
And it is a warm weather sport for baseball and softball. So if you have a school like UNLV, and like I said, I mentioned, you know, Fullerton State and some of these other schools before, where actually you do have a recruiting advantage. I mean, you've got guys that you can get in your own backyard that play just about year round. And again, you know, the Michigans, the Ohio States, the Eastern schools, the Syracuses, you know, the other powerhouses that you have in basketball and football, not so much in baseball. So
yeah, North Carolina's got a really good, you know, program. Tennessee has, but you know,
but the weather is good there for the most part as well too.
But where schools like UNLV have an advantage over those schools is they're a lot closer to Southern California, where there's just a plethora of mm-hmm. talents. And you know, even I think the second and third tier kids in California are probably better than the first and second tier kids that are in the Northeast and the Midwest.
No doubt. All right. We'll continue to look forward to that. But get out there this weekend. See UNLV play San Diego State Friday night, 6:05. Then Saturday and Sunday, a couple day games, 2:05 and 1:05 respectively. All right. We'll be looking at tonight's NCAA tournament. We'll be breaking it down, tell you the latest line movements when we come back. TC Martin Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, get that CG Technology mobile app, betting made easy, right before your games tip off tonight. Sweet 16, tonight, tomorrow, Elite 8 over the weekend. Can hardly wait. The CG Technology mobile app, so you can wager from your phone, and there is a special that goes on right now at CG Technology. During March Madness, you get a $68 bonus. Why 68? Because 68 teams started this madness. And they're going to honor that all the way up till April the 2nd. So it's real simple. If you do not have a CG Technology mobile app account, first timers, you go sign up at any of the CG Technology sportsbooks. That's the Silverton, the M Resort, the Palms, the Venetian Palazzo, the Hard Rock, Tropicana, or the Cosmopolitan. You go get signed up. They'll give you a match play bonus. If you deposit at least $68 or more, they're going to give you $68. All right, they will match up to that. Now, if you put in $25, they're going to match it for $25. That's how it goes. But up to, you know, $68 or more, you're going to get that $68. So make sure that you do that and get the CG Technology mobile app so you can wager where you watch the games. And very important, the in-game wager. And we've talked a lot about the wagers in-game where you can really take advantage of some plus money long shots. If you feel that this team, your team is going to still win and they're down by, you know, 8, 10, 12, 20 points, you can get some long odds and cash in. But the only way you can do that is if you have the mobile app. All right, Sister Jean, just got done saying the pregame prayer with the Loyola Ramblers. She's ready to go in her red and gold as the Ramblers take on the Nevada Wolfpack. You know, they've had a couple buzzer beaters. The 63-62 victory over Tennessee may have shocked some people, but when you look at shockers, I think people are still talking about Nevada shocking Cincinnati down 22 points with 11 minutes to go. They come back and win by a bucket. So that game kicks off first at 4:07. Nevada, a 1.5-point choice. Second game in that bracket tonight, K-State is taking on Kentucky. We've got the 5 seed in the Kentucky Wildcats against the 9 seed K-State Wildcats. Which Wildcats do you like, Magnum?
The blue and white
Wildcats. You like the blue and white ones?
Bruce Weber is not a good coach, and I think he will get exposed. Kentucky, too much talent. Don't drink the poison. That was what John Calipari told his young team, the youngest team in the NCAA tournament.
I like that.
You know, I think K-State, they were very lucky by virtue of the fact that Virginia lost to UMBC. Otherwise, K-State would be back in Manhattan, and Virginia would be here. But, you know, sometimes you can only beat who's in front of you. And I was surprised they beat Creighton because I figured Creighton would pick them apart. And, you know, obviously the bracket opened up for them with UMBC coming off of an emotional win. And
but I'll tell you why they beat Creighton is because they have lockdown defense. Of all the teams that are remaining in the tournament, K-State has the top-ranked defense that is still left right now because they can lock it down. Now, they can go on some scoring droughts, hence the number 9 seed.
Well, they only scored 50 points to UMBC.
Exactly. So they could be in some trouble against Kentucky. But back to what Calipari said about don't drink the poison, because everyone's saying, all the media members are saying, hey, you're the number 5 seed. 1, 2, 3, and 4 are gone. You're the highest remaining seed, which is crazy. First time that's happened since the seeding process happened in 1979. So he doesn't want his guys to be too overconfident, which I agree with him. You don't, because these guys are young kids. They were all superstars coming out of high school, reading their own press clippings, and it took them a long time to gel together, but they're finally getting it. So I hope Kentucky does not regress to that, because that's exactly what happened to Virginia. They thought they had a cakewalk, and they did not respond at all. 21-all in that UMBC game at halftime. Second half, they didn't respond either. So if Kentucky plays with its same passion and fire, I think they win this by double digits.
Yeah, and Kentucky, a team that also was very fortunate by virtue of the fact that Buffalo beat Arizona, opened up the bracket for them as well. Otherwise, they're probably back home in Lexington watching.
I don't know. They've played great ball for the last 3 weeks. They have.
I'm not buying the hype on them.
I'm telling you.
You know, they just...
They rolled through the SEC tournament, my friend.
The SEC was... I think the SEC... There was a deep conference, but I don't think it was a very good conference. I think it was a deep conference in the regard that, yeah, there were some pretty good teams, but I don't think there were any elite teams in the SEC. And Tennessee stood with them. And Tennessee, well, they're home watching, so... you know, Kentucky won the SEC tournament. They were not the number one. They did not win the regular season championship in the SEC.
No, because they struggled for the better half of the first half of the conference slate. But and then they turned it on, like I said, last 3-4 weeks.
I do expect them to win. I do expect them to get to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. And you know what? By virtue of what happened in the other bracket, I wouldn't be surprised if they were in the championship game. I don't think they will win.
Other SEC team, Texas A&M, still feels weird saying Texas A&M in the SEC, but they are. Number 7 seed taking on Michigan, who survived. They got the buzzer beater from Poole. They are a 2.5-point choice. That game tips at 4:37, Michigan against Texas A&M. Texas A&M just has so much size, 3 7-footers. 2 of the 7-footers start. They are very, very tough. But Michigan, hopefully that was the wake-up call, because they haven't played exceptionally well in the first 2 rounds.
Yeah, and, you know, well-coached team. And I think maybe there could have been a little rustiness by virtue of the fact that the Big Ten stupidly had their conference tournament a whole week before the rest of the civilized world.
Did it for the money.
Yeah, you know, but that's Jim Delaney for you. That's the way the Big Ten rolls. But I think they could get by Texas A&M tonight. I would not be surprised if they made the Final Four. They're a pretty good team. You know, I'm more intrigued by Texas A&M. You know, they were clearly... a very good team early on, hit some speed bumps, hit some struggles, and now they seem to be playing maybe the best basketball of any team in the country.
And a lot of the the role that these teams were on in the first and second round. When you have 48 hours to turn around, you're riding that wave if you won the first round game, especially in upset fashion, and you don't give your opposition much time to prepare for you. Now you're 4 days, sometimes 5 days, depending on when you played. You've played Saturday or Sunday, and you're playing on, you know, the Sweet 16 round of either Thursday or Friday. You got at least 4 days to prepare yourself for this. And a lot of times that momentum goes. And people remember the last thing that they saw. So don't be surprised if Texas A&M throws in a clunker tonight, because, like you said, they did that for a good part of the year.
Well, the other thing is you give John Beilein a couple of days to prepare for you. And, you know, Beilein, I think, maybe one of the best 5-6 coaches in the country. So, you know, I think Michigan definitely has the advantage in this one.
Fourth game tonight, 7 o'clock, Florida State against Gonzaga. Gonzaga, the number 4 seed. A lot of people surprised they were that low at 4. Florida State upset Xavier, the 9-1. And Gonzaga is a 5.5-point choice in this one. So, I fully expect Florida State's run to end. I did not see him beating Xavier. I'm still highly upset about that, busting my bracket up with that. But Gonzaga tonight, they should take care of business against the Seminoles.
Yeah, Mark Few should take Leonard Hamilton to school. Maybe, you know, bust out the ruler, show him how it's done. Gonzaga should roll tonight.
We've seen these higher seeds play scared, especially in close ball games. We saw it with Xavier. We saw it with Cincinnati. They just tensed up. So these better teams, these better programs that have the higher seeds, they cannot play scared down the stretch of these games when they get challenged. And hopefully the cream rises to the top tonight. All right, 4 games tonight. Another 4 tomorrow. We'll preview tomorrow's games. Tomorrow, live at the Cosmopolitan. Make sure you come on out and join us. Look forward to that. We'll be out there at 3 o'clock, and then the games will follow us right here on Fox Sports Radio tomorrow after we're done with the show. For Magnum, T.C. Martin saying so long. I want to thank Stan Stolte from UNLV. Baseball, the 19th-ranked Rebels, 18-3 for joining us today. Have yourself a good one. Enjoy tonight's college basketball action. We'll talk about it all tomorrow at 3 o'clock. If you missed any part of the show, go to the website, tcmartinshow.com.